The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. On the second Sunday in ordinary time, which is today, we are treated to John's version of the baptism of the Lord. Now, we, of course, celebrated this last Sunday, but there is something that the church would like for us to know and to consider regarding this, I would say, the debut of the Lord's ministry in public. And so last Sunday we just read the report of the gospel of how of in Matthew of how Jesus came into the water and asked baptism from John, and John was puzzled. "Shouldn't you be baptizing me, not me baptizing you?" And Jesus said, "Let it be so, John, so that all righteousness might be fulfilled." And now we have this very majestic presentation of John of the baptism of the Lord. The most astounding pronouncement that he said is here: "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Of course, we know this line very, very well, because every time we are at Mass, we repeat this. We repeat this. The priest says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then you all respond, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed." Now, we need to understand this pronouncement from the context of the life of John the Baptist. Now, we know that John the Baptist came from a strong line of priestly lineage. The father, Zechariah, was a priest in Jerusalem. The mother, Elizabeth, came straight from the lineage of Aaron, the high priest. And so he came from a very, very priestly family. John knows, and his entire family knows, the covenant of the Lord. His entire family and John himself knows of the hopes and expectation of Israel. Now, what about this? What about the hopes and expectation of Israel? What about the covenant of Israel? Well, we have to go back into the Old Testament. And we all know this, that the people of Israel, they worship the Lord by what? They renew the covenant with the Lord by what? By offering a lamb. And you walk down history, it's always been that way. It's started by Moses in Exodus, when God asked Moses to slay a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts, and then to eat the remains of the roasted animal, and then they continue to do that. We see in the ancient temple of Israel, people will bring an unblemished lamb, which will be slain, And the blood will be sprinkled on the people of God, and then also sprinkled in the Holy of Holies, and so on and so forth. So the importance of the Lamb and the slaying of the Lamb and the collection of the blood of the Lamb, and to sprinkle that with the people of God to gain what? To gain forgiveness, to say thanks to God. And it's through the blood of the Lamb and the flesh of the Lamb that they were able to access the presence of the divine. So now, why did Israel has to do that? Why did the prophets and the Lord himself prescribe such ritual of pouring the blood of the animal and then presenting that to God? Well, for the simple reason that it is ordained by the Lord that we take sin seriously. We take sin because sin is against our covenant, our relationship with God. And that outrage that happens because of our sin against God, that entails life. In order to restore justice, there must be a shedding of life. Now, the Old Testament believes that life is in the blood. And so to reinstate original justice, life has to be poured out. When we sin, we need to pour our lives, essentially to be killed, in order to restore original justice. But in the mercy of God, in the olden times, God ordained that animals and beasts will suffice, at least for some time, in order to restore original innocence. And so, that's what our forefathers, the Hebrews, the ancient Israelites, did for hundreds and hundreds of years through the pouring of the blood of the animal and burning the Holocaust. They access the divine presence to gain blessing and to gain forgiveness of their sins. But all of those things are merely an expression of their deepest longing. They want to be connected to the Lord. And so with whatever they have, they try to present themselves. They try to present a worthy offering before the Lord. But the question is, they are our forefathers, the ancient Israelites. They're trying to access the very presence of the divine. The very presence of the divine. Do you think the blood or the flesh of an animal will ever enter, will ever pierce the very presence of God? Do we ever think that the blood of a creature will enter that Holy of Holies in heaven, in a tabernacle not made by human hands? The answer is no. The answer is no. The only worship, the only sacrifice that could enter the very presence of the divine is the sacrifice of someone who is divine also. And this is where Jesus comes in, because God knows that to restore justice completely, there must be an offering of him who is divine, not creatures, not beasts, because they are very, very limited. For a while they serve. And how did they serve? Their desire for blessing and their desire for atonement of their sin. We believe in our Catholic theology that the merits of what our forefathers did in the past, in the sacrifice of the animals, they gained their merit by the anticipated sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. those sacrifices in the temple only gain their merits to appear before God in anticipation of what is to come, the sacrifice in Calvary. And so John, who is a priest who understood the covenant, who understood the longing of his people, who came from a line of priestly family, when he saw Jesus, he said he was jumping for joy, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, finally he's here. We no longer have to sacrifice animals that does not necessarily enter and pierce the very presence of God. He's here now. Behold the Lamb of God. Our longing is fulfilled. Him who will take away the sins of the world, because he is divine and because he is human, he can unite all of our humanity and all of our sinfulness and bring that up to God, and to enter that holy of holies, the tabernacle in heaven, not made by human hands, which beasts and animals could not do." What are we saying here? What we're saying here is that we have something precious. The very desire and dreams of our forefathers, the ancient Israelites, is now fulfilled in our hearing, is now fulfilled in our very experience. Every time we come to Mass, we offer that sacrifice of the unblemished Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who pours down and open the floodgates of heaven, because he is the only worthy sacrifice that the Father is worthy of receiving. One thing more that can be said about Jesus as the Lamb of God. You see, I mentioned earlier that this sacrifice to the Father also is united with us because of our shared humanity. And so therefore, when Jesus appears before the Father, he carries with us all of our stories. When he enters that Holy of Holies, which no one and nothing can enter except him or her, who is completely divine, when he enters that, he carries with him our prayers. Because he is human, he knows our tears. Because he is human, he knows our longing, our dreaming, our victories, our dancing, our songs. That's how marvelous a mediator he is. And so today, in this celebration of the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, might we renew our friendship and love of Jesus, the one mediator, the one who takes away the sins of the world. One last thing before I go. So one may ask, so Father, so what happens with the intercession of the saints? You know, we pray to the saints and ask them for something. Well, the prayers of the saints, the power of the prayers of the saint rests in their complete participation in the life of Jesus. You know, they are there in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of God, and God gives them that privilege to participate in praying, in the work of Jesus' mediation. They participate there. And so remember that. But Jesus is the one mediator par excellence. And remember that one mediator today will once again offer himself at the altar of Calvary. That's Calvary right there. To offer to the Father all of our desires for forgiveness, our desire for blessing, our heart's desire, whatever that may be. He lifts it up to God every time the consecration time comes. And then finally, we line up to receive the very answer to our prayers, because whatever goes up in worship, comes down to us in blessing. May our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ intensify our love for Him and our love for the Eucharist, in which we meet Him, in which heaven touches earth, and we are in turn divinized and blessed.